I praise the Lord for
each and every one of you and the opportunity that we are here again to listen to His Word. We are all involved in relationships of sorts in our lives, some kind of friendship with many different people, sometimes in here, sometimes at home, sometimes at work. But we are all involved in friendship relationships, or relationships that we can call friendships. And I believe it is a true statement to say that all friendships thrive on shared experience. Where there is no shared experience, the friendship seldom manages to thrive. I'll throw out some more statements for us to consider. You and I are the best physical representation, or if I can say, as ambassadors, we are the best representation of Christ to the unbelieving world as well as to the people that believe. Another statement, how we treat each other as friends in our relationships is a good indicator of what we believe. Another one, many times it happens that God chooses to use us who believe as an instrument, or to show His hand, perhaps, and compassion to fellow believers and people in many different stations in their walk with Him. So I thought we could look at these things, each one of us maybe consider these things as we look at the series on Romans. Could I please have a glass of hot water, someone? Thank you. I thought we could look at this as we consider the series on Romans. And especially as we look at the scriptures that we read together, I would encourage you in your spare time, if you haven't already done it, to go and read some more, perhaps the whole of Romans 16. It would be very good because it's very relevant to what we're going to talk about. But I thought it would be a good thing for us to maybe encourage each other rather than just giving the information, that we can go home. As we take some time to reflect, we can also have a look at what it says. But we find Paul writing a letter to the Romans, commending Phoebe, a fellow Christian, to them, asking them to receive her. One of the things that we notice is that one of the things that we notice is that she is not known to the Romans. She's not someone that they have a rapport with. But she's only known to Paul, as far as that church is concerned. But he's commending her to them and saying, she has been a great help. I'm asking you to receive her. So it's a great thing to be able to receive someone in a new place, someone that we don't know. And it is a great thing for us to be able to show the hospitality that we have. Thank you.
I'm still too old.
Thank you. Yes, I think I'm much better now. Thank you. It's a very good thing for us to be able to show the hospitality that we have to one another. As a disciple of Christ, Phoebe was accepted. We are all accepted as disciples of Christ because we all belong to the same Savior. We are all Christians. Therefore, we are all accepted. But then, as a person that wasn't known to them, She was esteemed. As I dug a little bit further, she was esteemed as a deacon. There is a bit of contention, perhaps, when it comes to that, as I would agree with Terry as he put it, that in some other renditions, translations, they haven't said that she was a deacon. But in some later editions, they have actually said that she was a deacon. And I looked at the purpose or the function, the office of a deacon, and the office of a deacon described precisely the things that Phoebe was doing in ministering to people alongside with Paul. Therefore, I would agree that she was a deacon indeed, and that it was correct to put the conclusion that she was a deacon in her church. Nonetheless, she was esteemed for her virtue. She had been a woman, or she was a woman who had helped a lot of people, even Paul himself acknowledging that she even helped him when he was in a time of need. She had helped many people in her own church. Therefore, they placed a lot of value on her. Not necessarily. See, I asked myself, did they place value on solely because she was helping them? But they did place a lot of value. It is a good thing to be able to minister to other people, to aid, to assist, to advise. And some people have a way of doing it that is so selfless, that completely negates their own needs and puts the needs of other people first. Those people do so not because they have an abundance, sometimes, if we're talking of material possessions. It is because they have a desire to see the other person succeed. They have a desire to see the other person happy. Because of that desire, they then put the other people or the other person first. They stand in the gap. It also says in another place where I read concerning many other ladies, one of whom Phoebe is, who were very useful in the time that Paul was writing this letter, that sometimes they would actually assist with foreigners and actually assist with people who found themselves perhaps on the wrong side of the law. Hopefully not because they're murderers, but because, you know, there was something going on that they needed some assistance, someone who knows the land to go, perhaps in today's world, I would almost say, pardon me. In today's world, I would almost say it was like someone who would take a foreign person and take them to the local council office or take them to the counselor to state their case. And they would stand in the gap because that person cannot help themselves, and they come and they give them the assistance in relation to the knowledge that they have of how things work in the new area that the person is. Sometimes I can also think of a lot of things that perhaps we do here as well with the food bank. So just trying to unpack it and make it a little bit more relevant, but there had been so many women that operated in an office that I would best describe as deacon, because they aided, they assisted, they helped many people so that the health of the church would be great, so that the people would be able to realize their potential, so that Christ can be best brought out. Now, this sort of presents an issue with many other believers who believe that women cannot take active roles in churches. Women cannot take leading active roles when it comes to ministry. But then I believe that these scriptures actually help us to shed some light, to address those situations. Because I believe that when it came down to it, it is more of a human element. God would not just choose to use someone because they were male, but he would choose to use someone because they had the right heart. That he wouldn't look at the exterior, he would look at the interior. The person that was willing to extend the hand of friendship, the person that understood the heart of God when it comes to other people. Because God is love himself. And God being love, he would require people that would understand that he is a God of love. That love flows out of God's heart. And he would then use those people, regardless of their gender, he would use those people to do his work. Whether they were a woman or a man, or they were a child or an elderly person, it didn't seem to matter, at least not here, anyhow. So Paul says, receive her in the Lord. I augmented this. It came to mind, Colossians 3 verse 17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, glorifying God. Why? We want to give glory to God. Receive her in a way worthy of his people. So he wanted them to be able to receive her. So in a way that was worthy, receive her in a kind way. In the way that Christ himself would have received that person. So that as far as that person is concerned, there would be no difference. They would feel loved, accepted. They would feel wanted. In a way that Paul himself, if he were there, would actually receive her. Would Paul be able to trust them? If Paul was writing this letter to us today in Slough Baptist Church, would he have that confidence that we would be able to receive such a person? That we would aid Phoebe, that we would help her. I thought of something. Imagine that at the time that Andy was out in America, he had a friend, and he wrote us a letter, an email more like, I don't see Andy writing letters. Let's say he wrote us an email, you know, and asked us, I have a friend of mine. They have some business in Slough. They come from far away. I urge you, not even urge you, he doesn't need to say that. He says, I ask you to receive her in a way worthy of God's people and aid her, help her, advise, protect. Would he have the confidence? Would he have had the confidence that that person would come in through the doors and find warm faces and find a warm welcome and be able to be accommodated and be able to find the assistance that they needed? Have you ever invited someone to church? How did it feel inviting someone that was quite important to you to church? I know when I invited someone to church, I wanted to make sure that the welcome was amazing. I wanted to make sure that the singing was amazing. I wanted to make sure that everything was great. There were no papers on the floor. That, you know, as soon as they walked in, they would be wowed. Why? Because it's important. Because that says something about what we believe and how we treat each other. It furthers the cause of friendship that Jesus talks about when he lays down his life for those whom he loves. He says, greater love hath no one than that he lay down his life for his friends. So I would imagine that the way that we would receive somebody that was new in church, somebody that was recommended to us, we would want to show that hand of love, that great friendship. But what about us who are already here? How do we show friendship amongst each other? I said before that I believe that all friendships thrive with shared experiences, a shared cause. When we have something that we are doing together, then we are able to appreciate each other. We can see who we really are. When we come into situations, sometimes Paul, together with some of these women and a lot of other men, I believe, came to situations as they preached the word of God, as they aided the people of God. They came into situations, some glorious situations where God moved in such ways that, you know, they were left completely amazed. Wow, is this what God can do? But you see, those things change how you relate to each other, because you shared an experience that will change your life. Your life will never be the same, but also your life, your relationship will also never be the same. Another time, they would have faced such great opposition, where they would be imprisoned, persecuted. They would have had to think of ways to get themselves out of difficult situations. And those situations also would solidify and cement their friendships. It would help them to come together. It would bring them together. So what am I saying? The mission of God brings people together. It doesn't just bring those people together with God. It also brings them together. As we focus on God, as we do the work of God, as we engage in the things that we do, the missions. See, it's not always the greatest thing. Oh, but I don't know how to preach. I haven't got a lot of money to give in church. No, it's true, I don't have all that. But you see, each one of us is given different abilities. Each one of us is given different gifts. And all those gifts complement us as a whole. They complement us. So what I can do, a lot of people cannot do. What a lot of people can do, I cannot do. But there is something that you might be able to do that I couldn't possibly do. I might wish I could do it, but I couldn't possibly do it. There is a way that someone can stand up in front here and speak to people that it makes you shift in your seat. It makes you think, wow, I want to do something. There is another way that somebody stands over there and sings to God that you really feel like, oh, it's almost as if I can just touch God. Why? But the person that preaches is not going to be the person that goes over there to try and take the office of the other person. It's not possible. But you see, we don't have to do that. That is why we are so diverse. That is why we are so different. But it all works together, because as we do the works that we do, there are so many missions. I also agree with Terry's sentiments when he says that sometimes it's not only just the things that we do here in church. They're important. They do bring us together. Sometimes for some people it is that as we come to practice and we're practicing the singing, as we prepare for the youth group, as we prepare for the food bank, every mission that we do, it helps us to understand more of each other, and then we become much more closer to each other, and we realize who each one of us is. It brings out the real you. Pressure brings out an individual in a way that perhaps when we're out here doing nothing but just sitting and raising our hands and then going home, I could be here in church for 20 years unless you see me doing something, you'll never really know me. The only time that you're actually going to get a glimpse into who I really am is to allow me to sit or to get into a place where God has called me. When I get into that place, then you will know, so that is Marshall. This is what he can do. And I believe that there are so many of us who are here today who have so many abilities, so many gifts that can help us to come together, to gel together. These are the things about friendships that it helps. How does it actually help with friendships? Because shared experiences actually bring out who we are. I can't say that we are friends. It's one thing, it becomes a little bit superficial for me to say that, I know that person, I've been to church with them for 20 years, I know them very well, but I know them just to sit next to them in church. I don't really know them. But it is when we start to do something together, in a mission, in a committee, in something, that I can actually get to know someone. It's amazing that it's only at those times that you really say, I didn't know. Do you know the number of times that I've been amazed at actually finding out what people are all about was when we had a trip away from church, when we are stuck together on some retreat, and then you have breakfast with someone, and then that's when you actually get to hear what they really think in their head. Sometimes they can even tell you, actually, if we did this in church, that would actually make church better. And you'd be surprised what they actually have. But it's when we actually put ourselves out there. It's very good. It's amazing if we can. I like one tradition that we do in church, that is inviting each other to lunch. It seems like a very simple thing, but it actually helps us to form better friendships. Sometimes it's good to invite people that you've not really known very well in church, especially if you always leave church very early. I'd love to invite you to lunch one day. And I'd love to get to know what everybody is like, because that's how we become better friends. So this is how people can actually become better at being friends. Extending a hand of love. Extending that nature of Christ that is in us. As I said, it's not just about what we do here in the main service. There's so many opportunities. Sometimes you might think about volunteering in church, and that volunteering in church will actually help you to get to know more people. I'm not saying that we will favor people who volunteer, and if you're not a volunteer, then we don't really want to know you. But shared experiences have got to be there for friendships to thrive. How can people become friends when they don't have times that they spend together? So this is why I tried to bring out the issue that these guys went through things together. And because they went through things together, it helped them. It's much like when you're in the army. When people join the army, they join a small team. Forgive me for my slight ignorance in the workings of the army. I know that you join a small team of people, and you have those people that you actually work with. And in that small team, at first, when they put you together, you don't know each other. But as you go out to do battle, you then get to know each other more. You form friendships that will last much later, way after the service, because you have had experiences together. Therefore, I urge all of us, if we can, let us get to know one another. This is not only something that I'm urging for here in church. It's also something I urge for outside at work, that we can extend a hand of love. We can extend a hand and try to get to know someone. And try, why are we doing all of this? It's because we are the true copy of the original. God, as I said before, God is a God of love. God is love. And out of the bellies of the people who believe in God comes out love. As we give out, we receive some more. If I am very good at giving to other people, then God replenishes me as I give out. If I never give out, if I only say that I love, but I don't really show it, then there is nothing for God to replenish because I haven't given out anything. I haven't taken out of myself to give to someone. And we don't only do it out of abundance. We do it because we have an unction, because there's something internal that is ushering us to go and do something. So I urge us again, let us continue. Let us love, and love in action. As we do that, God will replenish us and God will add to our numbers, because it is what people see when they are out there. That is why I started off with those little statements. We are the greatest representation of Christ, or the greatest ambassadors of Christ that the world has ever seen. Because the people who don't believe have never seen God. Every time they think about God, they think about you and me and what they know of you and me. Let us show them Christ. It's not what we can do because we put on a show, but it's what we can do because it's already inside of us. We are not trying to put on an act, but we are only giving what is inside of us. There is something that you can give, something that you can do, that shows that kindness. And as you do that, you will continue to learn and grow in what you do. All the gifts, they don't come already packaged and made. You grow in them, and we grow in them. I would encourage you again, please have a time. Grab one of those books. I think I saw it there, Understanding Romans, when you read it for yourself. Grab one, have a little read. I'm sure you'll love it, because I know that I loved it, and I know that it changed the perspective of how I look at Romans. It made me want to read some more, gave me lots of questions, which are good, because then I want to find out more. And I urge you to try and find out more. I pray that the Lord will bless us and give us. I feel like praying. Can I just be obedient and just pray? Father, we thank you because you are God and you are God of purpose. We thank you, Father, because you have called us out of the world into your wonderful light so that we can shine, so that we can make a difference in this world. And we thank you, Father, that it is not of ourselves that you are asking us to give. It is out of your own abundance. We thank you, Father, that as we hear your word, we are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of your word. We pray, Father, for that unction, that you may help us, Father, to be uprooted from our comfort zones, that we may be able to stand and to start to walk towards your light, to start to walk towards your calling. Father, to seek you, because you are the one whom we desire to be like. We thank you, Father, because you are God of love, that you have said in your word that out of those who believe, Father, rivers of living waters shall flow. Father, we pray that we may have that ability to form those friendships, to do that little extra that we can in the way that you have given us an ability to do, so that we can help your church to grow. Help everyone who doesn't know you to understand. Help those people who are struggling to see your hand as they see us giving them help. We thank you, Father, because you are God who is faithful. You are trustworthy. You will never leave us alone, but you will help us and you will be with us every step of the way. We thank you, Father, that we do not need to doubt, because we can be confident that you are leading us, and you are leading us in a good way. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Thank you very much.